morning, Texas. Welcome to my Cup of Goodness program again this morning. This is your no-spin Bible zone, where you will hear 25 minutes of straightforward King James Bible 1611, rightly divided preaching and teaching especially. I will use no corrupt modern Bibles or any other authors or famous personality pastors and preachers. No need for the Greek, no need for Hebrew studying, just the simplicity in Christ from a simple King James Bible, a Bible simple enough for all to understand. And as time allows in the program, I will insert a few of the hymns I play on the piano. Now for this program this morning, this will be program number 28, and what we're going to look into this morning is we're going to look into miracles, signs, and wonders. Let's look a close look. How does one argue against something that actually takes place? It's a blessing, as people call them today. It's there. It happened. You can't miss it. You would have to call that a wonder. You could even probably call it a miracle. And the fact that the Bible uses the word signs, that ought to be a real serious clue and a very simple clue for us to look into. So now, the simplicity of the signs and wonders and miracles thing, it's like the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, which we will talk about one of these days. It's the difference between seeing signs or having faith. It's the difference between church authority and Bible authority, which in the olden days was called sola scriptura, which meant scriptures alone. And if you go back to the modern Reformation, which, by the way, is not taught in the schools anymore like it used to be, so few people even know about this thing, that Protestant Reformation, the whole thing was a battle between a Bible and the local church, the national church, the state religion. It all went against a Bible only. Keep in mind, the Bible only was a King James Bible. So here we are today in the midst, if not even in the midst, but towards the end of an ecumenical movement that has brought everybody, almost everybody, together. Is that a good thing? Is it good to get rid of the doctrinal differences? Is it good to get rid of the denominational differences? Let's all share pastors and choirs and music song leaders, etc., etc. Well, that would have to be another program. Let's get back to this showing great signs and wonders and miracles. Probably what I'll do here this morning, I think I'm just going to read you a bunch of scriptures and we'll mention them a little bit, and you'll see a couple things. You will see that signs and wonders and miracles were given to the Jews. You will see that there was a time when signs, miracles, and wonders were given when there were Gentiles around. And not only will you see signs, miracles, and wonders done by the apostles, you'll even see a couple places there where, lo and behold, Paul did a few. Well, does that just negate the whole rightly dividing thing and make it from Genesis to Jude, everything is all the same? No, not at all. You'll see a huge difference here between what Paul was doing and what the Jews need for signs, what the Gentiles need, and you'll even see the differences of the Spirit of God during the tribulation. You'll even see the differences in the location of the Spirit of God during the tribulation and during the dispensation of grace. This is a marvelous study. I hope you can stay with it. I can already tell it's going to take more than one program. So let's go to where probably the number one place people go to, if they go to their scriptures at all, to find out about these signs and wonders. And that would be in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, and you'll see where it says these guys were all speaking in tongues during chapter 2, the day of Pentecost and all that. People were watching them and they thought, these guys are drunk or something. But Peter in verse 14, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, doesn't that sound like that could be applicable today? I mean, there it is. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, let me show you a couple things here. Then I want to get into some specific verses that will verify, it will back up what I'm showing you here this morning. Go to the book Joel. Go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Now, how long will it take you to find Joel 2:28? Well, you can always listen to the program. I've got them all saved onto my website. Click on the Cup of Goodness picture, and you'll go to the website. Just got all these programs sitting there waiting for you to play them back, and you can stop and pause and study them as you go. So right now, let's just keep going here. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon, well, you know what this is here? This is what Peter said, Joel said. So this is an Old Testament thing that Peter was showing these people. These guys aren't drunk. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So at this time, this is right after Christ died, buried, rose again. This is when Christ would have come back to the Jews and been their Messiah. This is when Christ went to Peter and Philip, and they went out. This is the Great Commission time, okay? But there's something I want you to really see here that just is absolutely amazing. This shows how important each individual word in the Bible is. You just can't change the words. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. See, so people will say, well, see, we're in the last days. No, we're not in the last days. We might be towards the end of the dispensation of grace, but that's not the last days. The last days is just before, verse 20, that great and notable day of the Lord come. So this is being applied to the tribulation. So the Jews reject all this stuff eventually, and so along comes the risen Savior. To Paul, inserts this dispensation of grace. But right now, we are before that takes place. And Peter is telling these guys, hey, you guys, come on. In the last days, which we must be in, and before the Lord comes back, God says he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters. Oh, upon all flesh. Well, we'll come back to that. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, see, that's happening today. Does that make it right? Just because guys and girls are prophesying, they're preaching and teaching, which, by the way, is what prophesy is to preach the Word of God. And your young man shall see visions. Oh, I hear from people all the time. I hear books and authors on all these visions people are seeing today. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Servants and handmaidens. Well, see, there it is. It's okay. Lady preachers, lady pastors, guy pastors, it's okay. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, all this kind of stuff, wild and crazy stuff. And that is just before the great notable day of the Lord comes. Oh, that's right. This is just before the Lord comes back. There's no rapture you're talking about here. Peter knows nothing about that. Well, what about this verse here? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what did they have to believe during these days? Remember from the previous programs? The name of the Lord, they had to believe that he was the Son of God. That's what they had to believe. And now let me just show you one quick little one. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So verse 21 is referring to the fact that these people needed to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. None of this is to us. This is there for us. Remember what Paul says? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I'm not going to any church teachings, any books, any authors, any Greek, I'm just showing you what this Bible has said since the day of the Reformation, since back in those days, which is what the church hated. Okay, Now that we see that this really isn't written to us, well, what about verse 17 here? Here's a real huge clue. It says, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Do we have the Spirit of God upon our flesh today? Oh, you think we do? Show me in the Scriptures where it says, we have the Spirit of God in us, not upon us. So here we go. Here's a general summation of this thing. We have the Spirit of God in us. We've been separated from our flesh. The Spirit of God lies, we have the temple of God inside us. We still have our flesh. We still have sin in our flesh. Romans chapter 7, for example. And Paul fought that flesh. We fight that flesh all the time. Now, come on, folks. Anybody who's listening to this, and if you think that you are really living that sinningless life, well, I put in a few confessions. No, that is not what we're talking about here. We are talking about the dispensation of grace. God has taken care of the law. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. So what we do in our flesh, what we do in our bodies, our walk, our day-to-day works, those works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ because there's good and bad. Make sense? So when the tribulation comes, people will have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. Now, in the past, the Jews, Spirit of God came and went. When the Spirit of God was there, they could do the right thing. When they did the wrong thing, Spirit of God would leave. During the tribulation, they're going to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. They can do the right thing. They can obey the commandments. They'll have the power of God upon their flesh. Not in them, but upon their flesh. So if we have the Spirit of God upon our flesh today, we could do all the things that everybody's preaching and teaching. We could stop sinning, but we don't. We have the Spirit of God in our flesh. We can quench and grieve the Spirit of God. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Not all things edify the body of Christ. Sometimes we do things as an occasion for the flesh. Sometimes we do things that will cause other people to stumble. And some things we do because we can't help ourselves will be brought under the power of those things. Those are the things that we will have burned in our judgment seat of Christ. So when we're going to talk about these visions and these signs and these miracles and these wonders, these will be done during the tribulation. Well, why are we starting to see more and more of those every day in the news? Well, as we get closer to the tribulation, don't you think that the devil's going to just kind of blend this stuff right into the tribulation? Don't you think the Antichrist is trying to trick people into thinking, well, see, this is from God, and by the time it rolls around to the official tribulation, it'll be just common knowledge, miracles, signs, and wonders. Well, they will have the Spirit upon all flesh, and then during those days, sure, sons and daughters will prophesy. Sure, young men will see visions, and yes, old men will dream dreams. And yes, he will pour on his servants, and his handmaidens, ladies, females, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. But along with that comes wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Oh, and they will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But what they'll have to call upon is the fact that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, as it was before Christ went to Paul, before Christ went to the Gentiles through Paul. Before this was all recorded into a Bible, and now we can study and read these things, we can see it from Genesis to Revelation. We can see the whole plan. It's the way of God more perfectly is what it is. Well, that was a big chunk right there. Let's look at some more verses now that will show us about these signs and wonders and miracles that were done by the apostles. Probably not in today's program, probably tomorrow, we will talk a little bit about, well, what did this have to do with Paul? Why was he doing those things? I wonder if you might already know the answer. Well, when Paul was doing these things, there were Jews in the audience. We'll get to that one in a minute here. Let me ask you this question. Go to Acts chapter 9. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. I think we all know by now that that's the chapter where Paul met the Lord on the road, and Paul was blinded, and et cetera, et cetera. And then it goes down to verse 18, that fell from his eyes that had been scales when he was done with Ananias. And first thing it says here, and when he had received meat, good thing Paul wasn't a vegetarian, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, not the apostles, the disciples, okay, there's more than that, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. And what did he preach? He preached that he is the Son of God. not Paul, but that Christ is the Son of God. Read the verse directly. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And then the story goes on. They couldn't believe it. Paul, you were the one that were killing all these people. How come all of a sudden you're preaching this stuff? What's going on here? And it says in verse 32 that he confounded the Jews, that proving that this is very Christ. He took the scriptures they had and showed that that was the Christ. That was the Messiah. You think maybe that's where Paul wrote Hebrews? I mean, why would Paul, who was called to the Gentiles, to be the apostle to the Gentiles, even write the book Hebrews? Well, because the first people he went to were the Jews. So if you want to know where Hebrews was written, where Paul spoke Hebrews, I believe that it was in chapter 9, verse 20. He preached Christ in the synagogues, and he preached that he is the Son of God. That's what Hebrews is all about. Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, not to us. Well, why isn't it right here after Acts chapter 9? Because Christ knew this King James Bible was going to come along, 1 Corinthians 13:10. We'll talk about that one of these days. And so this Bible is in dispensational order. You go to the first 8 chapters of Acts, and they've got the Great Commission. They're supposed to do what they're supposed to do, as Jesus taught in the Gospels. Well, they killed a preacher. Christ goes on to Saul, who was later called Paul. When the dispensation of grace is done, and the Spirit of God that's in us, and the rapture wraps, then the Christians that have the Spirit of God in them will be gone, meet Lord in the air. Then thus comes the tribulation. God will put the Spirit of God upon all flesh, and they will have an opportunity to actually do what they have to do. They couldn't do it before because they didn't have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. Can they lose the Spirit of God during the tribulation? Sure, Hebrews chapter 6 talks about that. Well, how is that possible? Very simple. The Spirit of God is upon their flesh. It can come and go. We are sealed. They are not. If they take the mark, Hebrews chapter 6, the Spirit of God will not come back. Cannot come back. It's a mark. Okay, so with that being said, let's go back and let's look up some verses now that just deal with signs and wonders. Keep this in mind. My presentation here is to tell you that any of these marvelous, I mean, they're positive miracle signs and wonders today, as good as they appear to be, are not from God. The Jews need signs. Christ went on to the Gentiles now through Paul. So signs are over with. Miracles, because they were just signs, are over with. Wonders, they're over with. The wonders we have now are spiritual wonders from reading our Bible. Oh, could we talk about that? That's called the goodness of God. So I'm telling you this morning, and I'll show you scriptures to support this without a shadow of a doubt. Wonders, signs, miracles being done today are preparing people to fall into the trap of the Antichrist so they will follow him, which today is Paul's biggest worry. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. So let's look at these signs and wonders, and let me show you that these are done for the Jews. These were done to the Jews. And it's in our Bible for us to realize we can't follow. We can't fall for those today. Those aren't of God today. Well, let's go to Matthew 24:44. Get a start right here. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Another reference to the Jews. And who's he talking to here? This is in Matthew. He's telling them, listen, there's going to come here false Christs, false prophets, and they're going to show great signs and wonders. Tribulation, that's what will be taking place. But what about now? That's just Antichrist prepping people to fall for it. And it says, they shall deceive the very elect. They'll even fall for it during the tribulation. But that's not our problem. Anybody preaching signs and miracles and wonders today is not preaching the truth. He's not preaching Paul's gospel. It says the same thing in Mark 13, verse 22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Matthew says, shall deceive the very elect. And Mark says, shall seduce them. So are people beginning to be deceived? Are people being seduced by signs and wonders today? Yes, they are. Just keep your eyes on the news. You'll hear miracles and signs and wonders increase more and more and more. How can you say that? Because I'm 64 years old, going on 90, and I've seen the increase in these things almost daily in the news. Now here we go, John 4:48. Remember this. This is Jesus speaking to the Jews. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. So the Jews have to see signs and wonders, which we'll show you another verse as time goes on here. Now let's go to Acts 2 again. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, just where we finished off there, where it says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. So he's saying, ye men of Israel. Are you a man of Israel today? No, ye men of Israel. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Miracles and wonders and signs were to the Jews. Acts 2:43, down to verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Well, of course, they were there, the apostles to the Jews. They weren't apostles to the Gentiles. They weren't apostles to the heathen. They're apostles to the Jews. But now they're supposed to go out to the world and teach the people what Jesus taught. Matthew and Mark, Great Commission. We go to Acts chapter 4, verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy Jesus. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. So you've got people saying, in Jesus' name. We talked about that the other day. In Jesus' name, da-da-da-da. That's that healing stuff. You hear that a lot today. What's going on? Well, we know what's going on. It's all prepping people for the coming of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Okay. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. That's Stephen. And they see, wouldn't you think that if you see these things, you would believe? And here are these people. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people, yet they still killed him because of what he said. Acts 7, verse 36. He brought them out, and after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years, that's what all that stuff in the Old Testament was. Stephen's talking about that. Wonders and signs. Isn't that amazing stuff? Let's jump to Hebrews. Paul is talking again to the Jews. Hebrews chapter 2. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We will talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost here probably in the next two programs. Two more programs from today. You'll see a tremendous amount of confusion there. But here's Paul telling the Jews, listen, God bearing witness both with signs and wonders and miracles. Okay, Revelation 13. Now let's jump to the Antichrist for a second here. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Boy, wouldn't that prove to you that this is the Christ? Well, the devil can do these things. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. There's that all that trinity of the beast, the false prophet, etc., all that stuff. See, devil can do these signs and wonders and miracles. And people are going to be awed by them. And yet we see with Stephen, he did signs and wonders. We'll see all the signs and wonders that were done during the days of the Gospels, and they still didn't believe him. They still killed their Messiah, what they did. That's quite the thing. Isn't that quite the thing? That's quite the thing. I think that's amazing stuff. However, we are out of time. So tomorrow's program, we will look at a few more verses that deal with miracles. We'll look at verses that deal with signs. And then we will see why Paul dealt with miracles and signs. After what I've been saying, why would Paul deal with these? Well, we already answered that. There were still Jews around to hear his words. And we will just kind of wrap up the signs, miracles, and wonders that are taking place more and more today, reminding everybody that these are not from God. God gave signs and wonders and miracles to the Jews for signs, but he's working with the Gentiles to this day, the dispensation of grace. Paul, Ephesians chapter 3, Romans to Philemon. And so let's get a good grip on these signs and wonders and miracles. We'll continue with this program, this part of this program, tomorrow. Have a good day, folks.